Keep pushing, keep fighting. Then you see the Lord come along, and he does his part to show that he's mindful of that. And I know that there's been a lot of people with sick in their bodies and keep pressing on. And of course, you can tell that this morning I'm kind of fighting a little bit of a problem with my sinuses. But I just always marvel at how the Lord just actually comes in, and he just shows you that if you take a step for him, toward him, he always meets you there.
Yeah.
And so we're happy for that, and glad to know that we don't just gather here in vain.
Yeah.
Right. But the Holy Spirit actually is among us and mindful of it. And so we thank him for that. This morning we want to continue the thought we had last week, and I'll go back and just kind of go over last week what we covered, and then keep going forward. And I think we'll be able to get done today, but so the bride's attitude at the time of rapture, part 2. And let's go ahead and open our Bibles and read Revelation chapter 19, the scripture we read last week. You pray for me, we'll be fine this morning.
Yeah.
I am so glad that we have a message. We're not just walking around just wondering what's going on in this world.
Right.
God's got a people that has a message and knows what's going on and what to do. And so that means so much. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, and I heard as it were a voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant and of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. Let's bow our hearts to the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to be in your house. Lord, to see your spirit come, to bless the hearts of your people. Lord, to come and enter into this communion with you, close fellowship with you, Lord. And so, Lord, we open our hearts to you this morning and ask God that you'd come in and speak to us, Lord, and bring this great revelation of this rapture, bring it to pass, Lord, in your people. We know you're doing it. We position ourselves this morning according to our post of duty, our responsibilities, our position in your body. And we know, God, that your life flows through us to make these things come to pass. So we look forward to this morning, what you have for us. We ask that you would bless each one, Lord, that's here, and then go bless those who are having troubles and can't make it today. We pray that you be with them too. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. The bride's attitude at the time of rapture. I'm going to read a quote to you. I'm not hindered today with quotes. And so we can just take off the gloves today, I guess. Show us the Father is the name of the sermon in 1963. And Brother Bram says, and the Word, Jesus said, is a seed that a sower went forth and sowed. And any germatized seed in the right kind of soil will produce its kind. So the right kind of seed, right kind of soil, it will produce its kind. And Brother Bram said, now I realize that this is being taped, and we have a tape ministry that goes around the world. Many people will be hearing this, 10,000, 9,000. And I go on record, and I say this about the Word of God being a seed. If you could take the right mental attitude toward any divine promise of God, He'll bring it to pass. Amen?
Amen.
So the bride has an attitude. There is a rapture promise. There is an attitude
right.
that we are to have toward that promise.
Right?
And any the right mental attitude toward any promise will bring it to pass. So I do believe we have a promise. I believe we have an attitude to have toward that promise. And I believe we can look at the contrast of the world and their attitude about the same things that you or I are looking at. And you'll see there's a big contrast, a big difference there. And so Brother Branham goes on to say, if you can get yourself in position to believe that that promise was to you. But if you let some Ricky place it off with more education, he doesn't have enough guts to know how to control it. And he can stick it off in some other age, some age gone by or some age that is to come, then it'll be no effect to you. Amen? So we certainly want to have the right promise of God, and we don't want to stick it off in some other age and say it's gone by in the past.
Right.
Days of miracles is past. We don't want to put it off, say it'll be off in the future. Brother Bram said that's a very big mistake that people make. They look and see what God did do,
right.
and they say, amen. And they say, this is what He's going to do. But they forget and they fail to see what God's doing right now. Well, you know what? I need God today.
Amen.
Right? I appreciate the stories and what He did in the past, but I want God now.
Amen.
And I know that when tomorrow comes, I'll want Him then. But we don't want to fail to see what He's doing right now. And so that the bride should have an attitude toward the rapture. Now, the scripture said, we're going to rehearse a little bit what we talked about last week, and I'll try to go quickly through this. And Brother Daniel was able to listen to last week. Okay. So the scripture said, to her was granted. And remember, we talked about in a marriage, there's one person who has the privilege of putting on the wedding garment,
right.
The wife. And that garment declares her to be that bride. When she walks in the door, you don't have to say, well, I wonder who the bride is. Her garment declares who she is.
Amen.
Amen? So when she walks in, she has that garment. That shows who she's going home with that night.
Right?
Right? If she walks in and doesn't have that garment on, she ain't going home with him that night. So the bride, it says that it was granted to her that she could array herself. And I want you to realize, the arraying, you know, she dresses herself. She's given the ability from God to array herself and to get prepared. But she has to prepare herself. She has to put on what He's given her. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
And so only when she does that can that ceremony happen. Right?
Right.
So only when she truly dresses herself in that which is provided to make her be that bride, so she can enter into that ceremony. That's so, you know, only when that happens can that ceremony take place and can she go home with him in rapture.
Yeah.
And so we realize it's to her, it's granted to her, and it's not granted to anybody else. I know how terrible that sounds, and the world say, you people are a cult, because that's one of the signs of the cult. You know, you're an elite people, and everybody else is out. But the issue I'm point with that is that I'm not telling you something we've hashed up ourselves. I'm telling you something the Scripture says.
Yeah.
Something that the typology says. Right?
Amen.
There's only one going to go home with him at the end of the day.
Amen.
And that's the one who's his wife, and that's the one who's been put on that wedding garment, because Brother Ram said, you don't just come and say, come on, Miss Jones. He said, there's got to be a ceremony.
Yeah.
Right? There has to be a ceremony. Even in Jewish customs, there had to be something take place in order for her to be that bride. And so, we have an end time message. The prophet came. We know that. And he was to give us. This end time ministry is the move of God that extended to her what she needs to make herself ready. Everybody follow that?
Yeah.
It's through that prophetic ministry that she receives the things to put on.
Yeah.
It's typed out I can't think of the one, Mary Ahasuerus. Can't think of her name right now. It's typed out in there. When it got time for her to go before the king, she didn't come up with her own idea of what she wanted to wear.
Right.
Her counselor, which is the prophet,
right,
in typology, her counselor, she put only the things on that he said she needed to put on. She didn't do what everybody else did.
That's right.
She listened to her counselor, and she went before the king and was accepted because of it. That's a type of it. And so this ministry has given us what we want, what we need in order to array ourselves to be the bride of Christ. And in that, this end time ministry, the great deal, I'm going to go ahead and talk about rapture message this morning. In that message, Brother Branham said a lot of things. And mostly what he focused on was conditions. He didn't tell you that some morning you're going to wake up and, you know. But what he did is to show you the hour that you're in, to show you who the people you are. He uses the Word of God so that you can examine yourselves. And if you see what the Word says takes place in all these cases we're going to talk about, you see that in your life, it helps identify to you, you know who you are. You know that you're part of Him. And when you look out and you see the things happening out in the earth, with governments and attitudes and all that, and you see the Word said it would be that way, you know the hour that you live in, you know who you are, you know the time is at hand. So all that tells you, and in all that, as all that's coming forth, there are things that God are giving to you that helps you to know the hour and to know who you are. And it's those things that you embrace that's making you ready, and the rest of the world rejects them. That's what we're going to be talking about. They reject it. And so that's the process that God has in this. He can still confound the wise with simplicity.
Amen.
Right? Christ can still hide himself in simplicity and yet reveal himself in the same simplicity.
Amen.
Right? He does it all the time. So Brother Branham, when he starts preaching this rapture message, first thing he goes to, he says, there'll be scoffers. Now I want you to see here that in this bride movement from that time when the prophet left the scene until we take a body change, there's events and things that take place, and there's a sequence of stuff. And Brother Branham is in this sermon, he's saying, now, you know, I'm going to tell you about rapture. And we're expecting him to tell us how we're going to take a body change. And what does he start telling us? He starts telling us about the conditions of the times of what's going to be happening. And you know that when this happens, it's right at the door. Because he'll never take it away to where you don't have to have faith. He'll never take it away where you don't have to have a revelation. You'll have to have revelation. You have to have faith. And it's through that he hides it to the rest of the world. So he hides it from them, but he reveals it to you by revelation. And so he's talking about things. And the first thing he says, now the Bible says there's going to be scoffers. At the last day, scoffers will rise up. They'll say, well, where is the promise of his coming? Because since our fathers fell asleep, they've been saying that the coming of the Lord was at hand. And it's still not here. And the scripture said they're ignorant. They're willingly ignorant when they say that. Right?
Right.
And so, Brother Branham, I want to show you that Brother Branham is telling us that before we take a body change, there's going to be a rise of scoffers.
Right.
And those scoffers are going to just try to dilute the Word of God and your experience and make you doubt.
That's right.
Right? And there will be scoffers inside the framework of the church. There will be scoffers outside of the framework of the church. And they would rise up. There would be impersonations. And remember, in order for there to be an impersonation, there has to be original first.
That's right.
Right?
Right?
If you say, I'm going to make a bogus dollar, if there ain't a dollar to begin with, you can't make a bogus one.
Right.
It's an imitation off an original. So there would be impersonations of a real movement and of a real thing that God is doing. There'd be all kinds of impersonations. And Brother Branham said it this way. He said, there's always something Satan doing to try to upset the bride. Constantly, every day, he's constantly doing something to try and upset the bride and upset this rapturing faith that's brewing and working inside her, that's moving inside her. He's constantly trying to destroy it. So the scoffers, there's a rise of scoffers in this day. People questioning. People making it look like it wasn't what it really was. But in that, Brother Branham said, but there's a message. And we know that. There's a message. I don't care what the scoffers do. I don't care what they spend their time doing, what they want to say. God said he would send a message, and he did.
Yeah.
And we have to have the right kind of message. As we shared last week, and so familiar with us, that Moses couldn't come along with Noah's message. Moses didn't stand there before Pharaoh and say, we're going to build a boat and float all the children of Israel down the Nile like Noah did. That's not it. See, so there is a current, modern-day message that God has given us.
Yeah.
And it's the same gospel, but it's the same message, but it's a different application for a different day. There's still a Savior. There's still a Redeemer. There's still a token. There's still a God that comes down and takes his people out when all the odds says that it's over with for them. It's all the same pattern, but there's an application of that same powerful gospel, the same God today, of how he's going to come down and produce in us a rapture in an hour where everything says we shouldn't have a rapture. Everything except him,
right.
His word. So we have to have the right message. We can't have just, well, Pentecost, speak in tongues, you'll be raptured. That's not what the Pentecostal message said, see? And so if Pentecost was the sum of it, we'd have been raptured long ago. So Pentecost was not the rapturing message, but it was part of the process. So now we have this end time message that's going to produce a rapture. So this message, that's its purpose, is to come to you and interact with you and produce in you a rapture.
Yeah.
But while that's going on, the world is going to be scoffing it.
Yeah, right.
They're going to hate it. They're going to find fault with it. They're going to do everything in the world to try and upset the bride. But to her, the rapture is a revelation.
Yeah. Amen.
It's what Brother Branham said. Now, he said the carnal mind and education cannot receive it. Why? Because it doesn't come through those channels.
Yeah.
This is a revelation from Almighty God. If the carnal mind and intellect and science could have figured out Einstein would have raptured long ago.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
And there's people out there right now, they're intellectual giants. I wouldn't even want to sit and just carry on a casual conversation with them because I'd show my ignorance in their presence. That's what kind of people they are. But they don't catch it because it doesn't come through those channels. So I'm not going to seek for it in those channels.
Right.
I'm going to seek it and seek after God in the channels that it does come. By faith, by revelation of the Word of God, through the types and the shadows and the bringing to pass of everything God said we do, that's where we're going to find it. Where the Holy Spirit is stirring and moving and bringing to pass what he would say in this hour, right in the midst of the greatest day of scoffers,
right, right.
He's going to do it anyway.
Amen.
He's going to come right down and snatch her right out of the midst of the whole thing, and the whole world's down there, don't have a clue.
Yeah.
That's our God. And that's what he's doing. And so these rise of scoffers, they'd say, it didn't even happen. Brother Raymond gave the example. Well, Moses really didn't pass through the sea. It was just a sea of reeds. And Jesus really didn't die. That's what they were saying. He didn't really die. He just took some mandrake weed, drank some stuff from it, and they put him to sleep, you know. And he had a deal with Herod, and he went off up somewhere and died and so forth and all that. So Brother Branham is giving this example in the rapture message. He said, now there's scoffers, and they're going to come along and say, it didn't really happen the way you think it did. Mm-hmm. Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Scoffers. And Brother Branham said, when you see that happen, when you see a rise of scoffers, He talked about the blackouts and Israel back in their homeland. And he said, when you see those things, that rising scoffers, he said, you know it's time. The time is there. He said, at that time, lift up your head. Because Christ comes from church, his bride at that time.
Yeah.
These people, they're scoffers. They don't even realize it. I don't know if I've said this before, but when Jesus was standing there, that man with a withered hand was there in the synagogue and temple, wherever it was at, but it was there. And Pharisees, Sadducees, all the religious leaders there. And Jesus knew their heart. He knew the wickedness of their heart and the hardness of their heart. And so he asked them, here's this man with the withered hand. He said, is it okay? Because it was Sabbath day. He said, is it okay to do good on the Sabbath? You know? And so anyway, Jesus healed that man right in front of them guys.
Yeah.
Them Pharisees and Sadducees saw that. They ain't never done nothing like that. They never had the power of God move like that in their midst. But they watched that take place. They seen that supernatural miracle, something they couldn't even touch themselves. They seen it and knew that that was something come from God.
Yeah.
And yet they were bitter against him because he didn't come through their system.
Yeah.
And they sought a way to kill him, right? Because
yeah.
In their arrogancy, well, you know, we keep the Sabbath, and you're healing somebody on the Sabbath. You know, that seems ridiculous. They sought to kill him because he did a miracle on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. Where's the common sense that people are supposed to have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where's the common sense? Because if I was sitting there and I'd say, no, wait a minute, only God can do that.
Right.
And God gives us the Sabbath to follow after. Apparently, I'm missing something here. Apparently, God don't have a problem with doing miracles on the Sabbath because he just did one. But you know, they get so bound up in their own intellectual way of things that God can do something right in front of them and they're blind to it.
That's right.
They're blind to it because it didn't come by their system. God knows the hearts of men.
Yeah.
We look out and we see things. I was telling my wife, I guess yesterday, I said, you know, it doesn't make a bit of difference. But what God has, his program, is so much greater than anything and all things this world that you could ever put together in this world.
Amen.
God's program is greater. I gave her this example. God's program is so much greater than anything else that we could ever tally up down here and intellectually comprehend or whatever. I said that sometimes we just have to look at that and say, you know what? I don't understand why James Miller wound up in his condition. But God's program is much greater than anything I can wrap my head around.
Right.
That if he says, no, you can't go this route, you can't have this, you can't do that, his no's are better than his yeses.
Yeah.
Right? And so it seems so crude sometimes, but listen, God knows what he's doing, and what he's got prepared for us out on the other side is much greater than anything we suffer here. Right? Says the scriptures. And that's the thing of it. And so, these scoffers rise up, and they don't even know that they're fulfilling the word of God. They get so wrapped in such a way. Jesus said it this way. He said, the time will come that they will put you to death and think they're doing God's service.
Yeah.
Jesus said that. Did it happen? Yes.
Amen.
And it's still can happen and does happen.
Right.
Get so wrapped up in something and think you're doing God's service and absolutely condemning themselves to hell by what they're doing, thinking they're doing God's service. Why? Because they're not in the channel of inspiration of the Holy Spirit, or they wouldn't be doing those things in the first place.
Yeah.
Be a good lesson for us to realize that we should always seek God for the channel of his inspiration, of his word, the Holy Spirit, that we not find ourselves zealous in something that's contrary to him.
Right.
It's very important that we be very sincere, very focused, very humble before God, and let him mold us and make us however he wants to. If I had my way this morning, we'd have our own building. It'd be our own building, and we, you know, but God hadn't provided that for us. Not yet, see? But I know he can. But if he never does it, I'll still serve him and I'll still preach his gospel, regardless.
Right.
if he never does. But if he wants to go that route, typically, when more things like that are added, more headaches are added.
Right.
And God will give us what we need when he knows we can handle it.
Amen.
See? But until that time, we'll be faithful to him all along the way. And so, these people rise up and they're scoffers. They don't even realize they're fulfilling the Word of God. You'd think that they could look at the Word and say, you know what, the Bible said at the end time there's going to be a rise of scoffers. And you would think, you know, could it be that my campaign that I've waged against the message, could it be that I'm a scoffer? But it don't happen that way. But that's exactly what it is. Someone is going to fulfill those things. And so while there was a rise of scoffers, all this is going on, to the bride, the rapture is going on, is a revelation. And the revelation is only to her because she's the only one that is granted that she can be arrayed in the wedding garment. And so he extends to her this end time ministry, end time movements, these hidden mystery truths and things that God gives us. That's actually him. She's actually clothing herself with his substance, right? It's from him. And so she's clothing herself with those things. It is the revelation of the hour, and that's what the world is scoffing at and condemning. I seen something the other day. I've watched several news things about Israel. I've been watching some stuff and watching what's going on there. It's very exciting what God's doing. And I seen one, and I'm gonna instruct a little bit. Okay? It's my job to do that.
Amen.
So I went on there and I seen this thing there. And when I got done watching this thing, and here was something that said, the Queen of Sheba. You know, it was a video, a documentary about the Queen of Sheba. I thought, well, this might be pretty interesting, you know, and see what they found out about that. So I said, put on there, and within the first 2 minutes, they're going on, yeah, this Queen of Sheba, she went and she did all this and came across the desert. Yeah, sounds good, she did, with all these riches, this is Solomon and all that. You know, come to all that point, and so the guy, he's introducing the show.
Yeah.
And she did all this, history says that, and so then it says, so now we've set out to go through a study to see if she, did she really exist? And when he said that, off it went.
Yeah.
Why? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to feed ourselves with things that are contrary to the Word of God.
Yeah, right.
You know, I heard Brother Claude say this, and it's right. He said, we are to apply the tokens in our home.
Right.
And he said, I don't know how to apply it just to one room in the house.
Right.
We apply it to our homes,
yeah.
The whole thing. And that's what we're to do. We are to apply the tokens to our home and not compromise. Because there's always been a token message throughout the ages. What was it? Where God gave instructions on how to protect yourself for what the enemy was doing in the land.
Yeah.
And for the death that was going to the land. God always had a way to protect yourself from that. But the only way you can is to follow that token. And that's what we need to do. You say, well, I haven't been so good. Okay, that's fine. This is a new day.
Amen.
Starting right now, apply the token.
Amen.
Apply it to every corner of your house. Not even the house, the whole property. I'm not trying to add to the word, but you understand it. Your domain, keep it to where the Holy Spirit can minister this rapture message to you. Because when we feed on things, that short circuits what God wants to do. When we feed on things contrary to the message of the hour, to what God's doing, that's what it does. It short circuits those things. So God has given us a message. He's given us the instruction. He's given us a complete environment, which we love very much, that we can surround ourselves with continually.
Right.
And I don't care what the world says, what the world does. He didn't tell us we have to go out there and apply it as much, but we can apply it to our domain.
Right.
And that's what we need to do. We want to do that. And so while this is going on, the rapture is a revelation of the bride, and it's only to her. And she sees it for what it is. She sees this is the coming of the Lord. This is the marriage ceremony. And we're going to the marriage supper. She's the only one that sees what's going on, what God is doing. because it's closed to the eyes of everyone else. I was thinking how that, you know, we go away to the marriage supper. So the ceremony takes place here. We don't have a problem with that because we know the prophet told us that. But then it might help you understand, because someone, especially if you're witnessing to somebody else and you're saying, yeah, well, the marriage takes place here, they're going to look at you crazy. That's another thing the message has brought us to understand. The marriage takes place here. Yeah. Everybody else thinks they go to it.
Yeah.
The marriage takes place here before body change.
Yeah.
Right? And so one thing I think, and when you tell that to people, they might have a problem with a ceremony. You know, there's a what are we talking about here? But a real simple way to look at it this way. The ceremony, the marriage ceremony, the thing that takes place here, it's a union. It's an invisible union of the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
A union. It doesn't have to be some great big shindig that takes place, but it's the union of Christ and His bride. That's the marriage. A union. Amen. So it's to the bride, it's a revelation. He is the mystery truths that have been revealed. And others don't see Him, but she embraces Him. She embraces these things. And these things are revealed in the mystery truths. So last week we spoke about a couple of them. And we'll go through them. These are things that Brother Branham mentioned in the rapture message. One of them he said, now, you were in your father before you ever come here.
Right?
Right? Even today, science has broke into that realm. You know, with all the crime scene studies and all that, with all the technology you have now, you know, you could walk in this door, go through this room, walk back out, and they could come in here and prove that you had been here. And they do it by genetics. So, which is only to let you know that right now, in this same hour where they've discovered that, it's because God's got spiritual genetics that says that if you're a Christian today, it's because you were in Him before the world was. And if you weren't there, this is what Brother Ruben said, if you were there then, you won't be now. He said, all you are now, if you weren't there then, all you are now is a mimic of Christianity.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of mimics.
Right.
That's all you are, is a mimic of Christianity if you weren't there. So the rest of the world takes something like that and they reject that truth, that simple truth right there. They reject it. That's not taught in their systems, so they reject it. It's not part of their program, so they reject it. They don't like the idea that God's got that kind of control of the situation. But you know what? When I hear that same truth, I rejoice in it.
Amen.
It blesses me to know that here I am in this hour, believing God and following after His word, and it's not just some decision I made, but it's the power of a gene down inside me that came from my father that makes me what I am.
Right.
That's what I rejoice in. The world hates it.
Yeah.
Right? There's a truth. This is one of those things He handed to her. Put this dress on. You were in your father.
Yeah.
She takes that and says, praise God. The rest of the world says, I don't want that garment. You understand what I'm saying? These truths that He has given us, don't let Satan talk you out of them. Don't let some Ricky place them off some other time, some other hour. Now's the time. When they scoff it, let's believe it.
Amen.
Because it's given to us. And so He talks about that. He said, that eagle in that pen, that eagle felt like something was wrong. He didn't know. He thought he was a chicken. Everybody else thought he was a chicken. All he knew was the habits of a chicken. But something down inside told him, I don't belong here. Can anybody identify with that?
Amen.
See what I'm saying? These truths, they speak to you. They help you to know, hey, I'm that eagle. I'm that one. And that's how you know. Who am I? What hour are we in? These truths are telling us who we are and what hour we live in. So there's that eagle. It was there in the chicken pen. But Mama flew over and said, Junior, you let out a scream. And Junior looks up and he sees something there for the first time in his life that matched what was down in his heart. That's exactly right. He didn't hear it from the Presbyterians. He didn't hear it from the Baptists, the Catholic, any organized religion, even Pentecost. He didn't hear it from them. But when the word flew over him and spoke, he looked up and said, that is what I see ringing in my heart. Because he was an eagle to begin with. And so there was another truth. The world hates that. They take that and they pervert it and put their own little slant to it to try and use it. But when they do, remember, if you put any kind of leaven in there, the whole thing's gone.
Right.
Put any kind of lie in there, then it's all ruined. See? Right. It's word upon top of word upon top of word. So they'll take some of these things, these truths that Brother Branham, that the Lord sent to Brother Branham and the ministry that God had given him, they'll take these things and they'll change it just a little bit so that it isn't a reproach to their organization. I know what I'm talking about. Because
right.
I was sharing this message for 6 months, once a week, for 6 months in a Baptist church until they finally said, the deacons rose up and said, no, we don't want no more of this. And so the pastor said, okay, we can't do this no more. But I saw their leaflet they passed out to their people every week.
Yeah.
Somebody brought me one of them. And I saw in there one of the stories. I believe it was the eagle story, if I remember correctly. And I read that account in there about that eagle story because this pastor had been feeding on the message. I've been sharing it with him.
Yeah.
So he took this and, man, this is glorious. And they changed it. Still the eagle story, but they changed some stuff about it to suit their congregation and to their system.
Right.
And you know what? They put leaven in it. And it will not produce the results in them that it did and that it does in the bride because they added something, a creed or dogma or something of man to it.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they did. I saw it. So I know what I'm talking about. And that gives me right to say it. Right?
Right.
It gives me right to say it. And so that's what they do. And so he said we were in our father and he talked about the eagle. And then Brother Branham said this. He said, you know, when a child is born, and I'm not saying it in maybe perfect words, but the same, you understand what I'm saying when I say this. He said, when a child is developed in a womb, he said that first cell is human cell, human germ. And then the next cell would be human. And the next cell, he said, you don't have one cell that's a human, and then the next cell is a dog, and the next cell is a cat, the next cell is a cow. Right? Mm-hmm. That precious little one back there that was brought into the world recently to us. Human cell on top of human cell on top of human cell on top of human cell brings a birth of a human.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Brown tells us that, right? What is he saying? That when the Christian in their experience, when they come to God and they're birthed into the kingdom based upon the cell, the Word of God, the breaking forth of His Word in their heart. That's a cell of life that's produced in them. And the very next thing that has to come is the Word of God. Just like that was a birth of the Word. Another cell of the Word. Another cell of the Word. Not the cell of a creed. Not the cell of a dogma. Not something of man. But Word on top of Word on top of Word. Why? Because we live in the hour that the whole world has gone haywire. They're all religious. And they start out with a cell of Christianity. Then they add their creeds and add their dogmas and their systems of man and call that Christianity. That's what they're doing. But he's telling us it don't work that way. It don't work when you add something of man to it. It's got to be Word of God on top of Word on top of Word on top of Word. And in this hour, that's what God is doing. God has come to a bride, and he's telling her, it's not creed on top of word. He's showing her that it's word on top of word. He's showing her, and here's an example, where they have Christian word they build upon, and then they say, then sign your name on a book, and that's how you get the Holy Ghost. That's man's word. This message comes along and says, no, it's not. It's another word of God on top of that word and another word on top of that word.
Yeah.
Line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. That's what the Old Testament says. The New Testament verifies the same.
Yeah.
And here we are at this end time, and a prophet, the only voice in the land and those underneath him, that's saying it's got to be back to one word on top of another, a word on word on word, and not something else.
Yeah.
And so he says it's got to be that way. He said, how do we get into this bride? We're baptized into it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit we're baptized into this body, right? Once by one Spirit we're baptized. How do I know, and I think I've used this example before, but how do we know that that's Brother Daniel sitting there? You say, well, it looks like him, but that's not the way you tell, really. The real Brother Daniel is a spiritual being, a soul down inside. And that body that's sitting in that chair is Brother Daniel because that life of Brother Daniel's in him. If that life of Brother Daniel wasn't in him, that wouldn't be Daniel. You understand? And the scriptures tell us we are the body of Christ. Well, if this is the body of Christ, how do we know that? Because he's in us. His spirit's in us. And so Brother Branham was saying it like this: you can't do anything unless you've got the spirit of it to do it in you.
That's right.
So this church world will not take a rapture unless they've got that power and life in them to have that rapture. Unless he's in there, they won't have it. So if it's not word on top of word on top of word, it's creed on something, they won't have it, see? But if it's word on top of word, if she says, amen, I can't miss it because I was with him before the world was.
Right.
See? When she becomes clothed in these truths and says, I'm going to live by this. When I step out into the world and they look at my garment, they're going to see a message that says, I come from my Father and I'm going to make it because I have his gene in me. They're going to see a garment around you that says, listen, I don't belong to this world. I'm the eagle that's in this chicken pen.
Amen.
I've heard a voice. That's what she's going to wear. That's what they're going to see. And the scriptures is telling us that when we walk clothed in these truths, that's our wedding garment.
Yeah.
We make ourselves ready. Right? And so that's what happens. So he said, we get baptized into it. We're baptized into it. The worst the world says, put your name on a book. You know, stick out your tongue, let the priest put a wafer on. Whatever else. Right? Everything except what the Word says. But the Word says you've got to have a personal encounter where he places that in you. Right? He quickens that. We know by predestination is yours, but he's got to come and recognize your faith. He has to come and show and bring that thing to life. We call it a new birth. And so he's got to be in there. And if he's not there, she won't go on a rapture. So that was another thing. These are all things he shared in the rapture message.
Right.
Now, he also said, I'm just touching the highlights of these, but the ministers are coming to break it down for you. Mm-hmm. In other words, to take that truth and hang everything on it that goes with it to show you this is truth. There's no animal, no creature out here when that cell of that creature begins to multiply, that it's a dolphin on top of a whale on top of a shark. There's no animal anywhere. It's everywhere in nature you look. It's that same cell on the same cell, one after another, that it produces. Right? So if we expect to be alive and birthed and into that dimension, it'll be because we've had one word of God on top of another word of God, on top of another word, word after word after word, and it won't be something different.
Right.
And so we thank God for that.
Amen.
So we're baptized where he puts his life within us, and then you'll bring forth what he says you will. Brother Ben goes into it, he talks about Enoch, and he says, Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Actually, when he says it there, he says by accident, he says Noah a couple of times if you listen to it. But we know what he means.
Right.
All right? The world say, well, now how can he be a prophet and God let him say that wrong? Forget it. The bride knows.
Right.
She reads between the lines. She knows it's a love letter. So he says, Enoch was the seventh from Adam. Now, the scriptures tell us that there was Adam, and then there was the last Adam, which was Christ. The scriptures make that parallel. And so, from Adam, you count seven generations, you find Enoch. And he's the one who was raptured.
Yeah.
So make the parallel. The scriptures make. So from Christ, seven generations, which is seven church ages. Then the seventh church age goes on a rapture.
Right.
Because typology said it. The world will laugh at that. But it's written in God's Bible.
Yeah.
It's in his Bible. It's in his typology. It's in his types and shadows. And it can't fail. We see that and we rejoice. We're the only people that knows for a fact we're living in that rapture hour, because the rest of the people who reject these truths, they don't know it. They've rejected it. But we accept it. And so he says, you know, Enoch, he walked with God, and so he was raptured, and he was the seventh. So we know we're in that hour. She wraps that around her. She wraps that truth.
Yeah.
Says, oh no, we are in that hour. See, we know that. The rest of the world can wonder, but we know. She wraps herself in that truth too. And so Brother Brown comes along a little bit further, and he says, you know, the message follows nature. And if you look at nature, talking about planting a wheat seed, you know, you plant it, then you got the blade comes up and the tassel and the shuck, and then it finally becomes seed. He said, all that process, he said, it follows that process, and you can't get away from it.
Yeah.
I don't care what the world says, it follows that process. So when that blade sprung up and it was Luther, they can say what they want to, but Luther was a mover of God in that hour. When it came to Wesley, the tassel, whichever they call it. What is it, tassel or tassel?
Tassel.
I always say tassel. So when it comes to that time with Wesley, greatest missionary age there was, because that's where that the wind carries all that away to fertilize or to germinate, pollinate or whatever. God said it's that process, see? But only a prophet in our day would come along and say, now, you know, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, but be careful! Pentecost is not that seed. Pentecost is the shuck.
Yeah.
Wow! That would take a prophet to say that. Do you know that? Back in Pentecost, before I come to the message and heard anything about that, you couldn't convince me. You couldn't have, you know, just to say, oh, well, this is what you're talking. You see here the gifts of the Spirit, all that's just, you know, that's the shuck. But that's what the prophet told us. And so he shows us it follows nature. And so we can look and we can see, yeah, I can see it follows in nature. But here's the kicker. When you get down past the shuck, the only thing left is seed. And when you get to the hour that it's all seed, everything else is dead. And when you get down to the hour of seed, it's harvest time. And in that harvest time, there's a gathering together, a bundling. We have to say amen. There's a bundling of everything, of all the stalks and stuff, that at one day was a carrier of truth, but is not truth now. Because rapture message isn't in it, see? Rapture message is in the seed message, right? And so it follows the process of nature, and nature says there is no other revivals coming.
Yeah.
The only thing left is for that bride, that seed, to be carried away and put in the garner. But before we can do that, there had to be a binding together of all the stalks, right?
Yeah.
And then that wheat still has a bunch of chaff and stuff in it, so now it has to go to the threshing floor and to do what they call winnowing, where they throw the wheat up and they would fan and blow all the things that has no weightiness to it, mm-hmm. blow it away. That's the hour we're in, saints.
Right.
See? We're not still looking for harvest. We're not still looking for them to be bound into bundles. They're already bound into bundles. The prophet told us that then. But we're 50 or 60 years later from those things. Where are we at now? I'll tell you where we're at now. It's the winnowing.
Yeah.
The blowing of all the nonsense, the things that have no weight in their experience of Christ, where any little thing comes along and here they go, tossed about by every wind of doctrine, says the scriptures. But the fivefold ministry was here to bring a people to where they're not tossed about by every wind of doctrine.
Right.
That speak to you?
Yeah.
So we see we're in that hour. We see it's winnowing. And guess what, saints? After this winnowing and blowing all this stuff away, where there's the only thing left in the midst of the grain is grain. There won't be nothing left that's not grain
right.
in our midst. I know that sounds harsh, but that's the hour we're living in. It's the shaking down, and it's getting all the things out where only thing that's left is the grain And there's only one thing left after that, and that's to actually put that grain in the barns.
Right.
And that's where we're at. So she sees that and knows that, and nobody else sees it. See, nobody can knows the hour, but she knows.
Yeah.
She knows the hour. We know right where we're standing because of those things. And so there's no more stages to come, not for us, Gentiles. See, there's no more revivals. This is it, regardless of what the scoffers say. This is our hour. So it's all these things, saints, and we could go on and on and on about the truths the message has given us, but it's these things that make you different than the world. Because you accept these truths that were divinely given, and they reject them, they scoff at them. So that's the thing that makes a difference. I mentioned up at the Watch Night service in Bartlesville, I said, you know, Enoch walked with God. And of course, when you walk with someone, it's a test of time to see if you really agree with them. See, so God has given the bride time to walk, to be tested, to be tried, see if she'll put on that garment, see if she really agrees. He's given time for that wind to blow to see if anything's there that don't need it. Blow it away.
Yeah.
So there's nothing but grain left. So it's just like Enoch, walking with God, and everything that would test in the most wicked generation there was, enough that God was going to destroy the earth because of it, but yet Enoch walked with God. He could have walked with a lot of other things, but he walked with God, and he did it over a course of time.
Yeah.
I don't know how many years it was, but he showed through the test of time that he walked, and he kept walking, and he kept walking with God. And it was that daily walk. This is the thing I want to share with you is this. It was that daily walk. It wasn't just at the onset, okay, I'll walk with God today. Bam, one day, all right, I'm raptured. No. It was that daily walk, day in and day out.
That's right.
Putting that message on display. If it's the bride, showing that garment of acceptance of a rejected message.
Yeah.
Showing that acceptance of a rejected word, a crucified Christ in this hour. Accepting that, because he's crucified again. I indict this generation, see?
Right.
I indict this generation because you've crucified the Son of God again because he was put on display and you crucified it and we're wearing that. See? And so it's that daily walk that he was doing, walking, showing that truth, showing that he walked with God and not something else.
Yeah.
It was that was the thing that translated him. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'll express it this way. If I'm earth around here and over there is heaven, rapture, how do I get there? I walk. My daily walk with the Lord, embracing the rejected truths, that walk with Enoch, at some point one day Enoch looked around and said, you know what, I'm closer to God, to heaven than I am earth. You know, you've heard that phrase, see? He just... One day, look, it was his daily walk that did it.
That's right.
You want to know how to have a body change? Walk with this word.
Amen.
And it'll take you. It's not rocket science. So that's what it was. Brother Branham gives the story, and it's not in the rapture message, I don't believe, but he gives a story about the armor meatpacking man. And he was like the son of the owner, or he was going to be owner. Whatever, but he was rich, and you know, they're a meat packing company. Then they're all about cattle and ranches because they own all the cattle that produces their product. This man leaves from Chicago, goes out west to where all the ranches are, and he goes out there to find a wife. Brother Ram tells a story.
Yeah.
He goes out there to find this wife, and so the people know he's coming to find him a wife, and so they all have all these big shindigs and things that they do. And there was all these sisters that were all fancied up and dressed up and, you know, doing their thing, what they thought they wanted to be, and showing off all their nonsense. And he, you know, they had all this going on night after night out in the town square or whatever, and he's watching, and, you know, and he happens to look over and all these fancy sisters that are out there showing all their nonsense, what they think is going to attract him, they've got, I believe it was a cousin, is that what it was? A cousin?
Right.
Who, she was back over there like Cinderella, mm-hmm. washing the dishes and all that, and he just happened to look and see her step out of the back door and go out and throw out dishwater.
Yeah.
He left all that nonsense. And he went down there, he was watching her, and so he went down there when she stepped out one night to throw out the dishwater, and he started talking to her. And she, he said, you know who I am? You know, of course she knew. He said, you know why I'm here? And so, most of you heard it. But he proposed to her. He said, would you marry me? She says, me? I'm nothing. Why would you, you know, here's all this people out here and all these cousins of mine and they're all fancy dressed and they got all that. And here I am in my old dirty house dress to cleaning dress or whatever. Why would you want me? And he said, I find something in you that I don't see in them.
Yeah.
Character. I find something in them, in you that I don't see in them. Will you marry me? You know what he said? Me? He said, you're my choice. If you listen to the way Brother Brown said that, I hear that, it just sends something through me. Can you hear him? He says to you, you're not like them. You haven't chased after all those things. I see something in you that's different, and you are my choice. And that's what he said. Just like Boaz there, when he's laying there at the threshing floor, I believe it was, and Ruth came down there, and you know all the things that happened there, and he made that statement to her. He said, you haven't chased after all these young men. You've esteemed me. See, that good old gospel, that good old, not this new nonsense running around here, has not got any sense about it, but that gospel that's been around for years and years, you've clung to me, an old man. See, you understand what I'm saying? She had a character about her. She wasn't after all that. If she wanted a good time and she wanted to have pleasure, she could have went to that, but she wasn't after that. She was after redemption.
Yep.
Right? We're not after all great big huge buildings and all great big music programs and just the fanciest this and the fanciest that and televisions and all that, taking whatever we are to the world. We're not after that. We're after redemption, Brother Daniel.
Amen.
That's what we want. And you know why? It's just like Jacob having loved Esau, having hated. You know why it was that way before they were ever born? The reason why is because Jacob had respect to the birthright.
That's right.
And he didn't care what he had to do to get it. He wanted that birthright, and that spoke to God. Because Jacob, the very thing that God said, this is your birthright that I give you. This is your future. This is your eternal redemption plan. I've given it to you. And Jacob looked at it and said, I've got to have it. Where Esau said, I ain't too interested in that.
Yeah.
Esau sold it for some bondage. But Jacob said, you know what? I don't care. I've got to have it. And that's the difference. They don't care about these truths, but you've got to have it.
Yeah.
And because of that, he sees something in you that he don't see anywhere else. And so this meatpacking man says, will you marry me? Well, yeah. He said, I'll come back a year from now and get you. You make yourself ready. So he goes away. And for the next year, what she endured while she made herself ready was nothing but criticism.
Sure.
Nothing but mockery. From all the people, all the especially the cousins, the other churches, just mockery. What? You think he's coming after you? If he was going to come and take somebody from here, it'd be one of us. That's what the Pharisees thought. If the Messiah comes, he'll come through our system.
That's right.
But he didn't. So they ridiculed her and made fun of her, laughed at her. And all that while, in the midst of all that, what was she holding to? His promise. So she was preparing herself. In the midst of people saying, why are you sewing on that dress? Why are you trying to make that, put that on? What are you doing? This is nonsense. He ain't coming from you. He's mocking you. He's making fun of you. You know what? He's not really what you think he is. I heard rumors he don't really have all that money. He really don't own that company like you say. All that stuff, that's just a facade. Every lie, everything they could possibly come up with to try and make her doubt so that she wouldn't be ready on that day.
Yeah.
Right? Everything they could get her to do to try and make her doubt. But you know what? I think in one place Brother Brim said this. If he didn't, I'm saying it, but I think he did. that man, when he went back to Chicago, while she was making herself ready, he left behind an agent to watch. And that agent would report back to him what she was doing. And you know what that agent did? That agent reported back, called him up on the phone or whatever it was, however they would do, send telegrams, whenever it was. And that agent would say, you know what? She believes you. You know what she's doing right now? After doing all of her chores and all the ridicule in the day and everybody else has gone to sleep, she's in there sewing that dress. She's working on it. She's taking these truths that you've given her and she's putting them on. She really believes that when she puts that on, you'll come for her. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He reports back and lets him know. The Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit lets him know. We understand that. Brother Brown gave us that example, how the Holy Spirit would come back and say, you know, your children, here's what they're doing. And so that's what happens. The Holy Spirit's ministering back to him and saying to him, what? The Holy Spirit in you. As you minister back to him, as you walk daily and clothe yourself in these things, you're ministering back. That experience in you is calling back to him and showing him you believe him. Showing him that you really do plan on going down that aisle with him, or you really do plan on going home with him at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I haven't done the best in the world of walking with him like I should. And I think we could all say that.
Yeah.
But I want to go home with him at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Not because I want to miss hell. Because I've found that he's right.
Yeah.
It's truth. In the midst of all this nonsense, this is truth. It's the only thing I've seen that's right. And if, I've come to that place where I'm realizing, and if in that truth, if he said, William Branham, Tony Roberts, I ain't going to let you in my kingdom. Depart from me. I'll love him anyway. Right? Because we have to love him more than anything else. We have to love him. I don't know that you'll have to do this, but we have to love him more than father or mother, earthly. We have to love him more than sons and daughters, brothers, sisters. We have to. And so the agent speaks back and says, she really believes you. While all that scoffing's going on, saints, can you see the hour we live in? Can you see why you suffer? Brother Daniel spoke about it last night. Why do we suffer complete bombardment? It's because we have an enemy. It's just not evil thoughts fighting with good thoughts. We actually have an enemy that's trying to destroy us and take us to hell. See, I listened, didn't I, brother?
Yeah.
It's a good sermon he preached last night.
Yeah.
So that's the case. We actually have an enemy. And there's actually scoffers that have risen up that their purpose, just like when they were trying to rebuild the temple, was to create constant confusion. Right?
Yeah.
But we're getting so close. So close. Don't let the world and the things of the world trick you up.
Yeah.
You are right where he said. This gospel, as you've heard this morning, this gospel message, this rapture message is taking you in his arms. He's showing you right where you're supposed to be. These things are supposed to happen. And to you, when all this rises up, to you, this is not something you're going to scoff at. To you, this sign that they scoff at, to you, it's a revelation. To you, it's another sweet whisper in your ear from him that you're his. So we just endure, just keep enduring with him. And so, just almost there. You realize he unleashes his power based upon relationship. Let me explain to you what I'm talking about. At Baldor, I have 7 guys that work for me. And they are my employees. And there's a certain power I have all kinds of abilities in me, certain powers in me. And so I am a supervisor. I have employees that work for me. I'm a husband because I have a wife. I have children. Makes me a dad. These are all different relationships that I have. And I have within me all kinds of powers and things, blessings to release. And in me, there are blessings that I would release to my children, or blessings and power that I might release to my wife that my employees will never see. I can go to them and I can get them a raise, or I can get them fired. It takes a little bit. But you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So to them, their relationship to me, to them, they know what to expect from me when I come.
Yeah.
When I come to work and I step in the room, they know what to expect from me. They expect me to give them directions on what to do and to scrutinize their daily work and to make decisions upon their welfare based upon how they do,
yeah,
based upon their relationship to me. My wife, when I come home, she does not expect for me to come home and fire her. Why? It's a different relationship.
Yeah.
My children, it's a different relationship. When he comes, he's got a wealth of power, and he's coming in power this time. When he comes, he's coming in power. And he's going to unleash that power. And he's got a wife that he's going to treat her like a wife. And there are others who have spurned, and he's going to treat them according to that, what they're according to their relationship with him. And what is their relationship, their attitude? Right? What is her attitude? She will be treated according to her attitude.
Amen.
To what he has extended to her in this hour.
That's right.
And the rest of them, that same awesome power that will obliterate this world, is going to scoop you up into his arms and take you away. Isn't that awesome? That's the truth. So it does matter what our attitude is. Our attitude to him, and being that we all believe this word, our attitude to each other too.
Yeah.
Right? It does matter. Like in the military. When our military sends special forces, send four or five guys. Sometimes those teams are pretty small. They send four or five guys, and they'll send them off over to some foreign country to do a mission, a critical something that has to be taking place. And they'll send them over there, and you know what our government will do? Our government will give them all the support that they need to carry out what they've been commissioned to do by our government. Now, I realize our government has made some mistakes, and sometimes they haven't provided the, you know. But he set us here for a reason. He gives us all the support we need.
Yeah.
He's not going to pull back on us and leave us sitting here without strength from heaven to accomplish what he sent us here for. Amen. And so, what is the bride's attitude? Well, she takes this living word that's among us now, and she clothes herself with it. And she's not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What is the power of God into salvation, right? She's not ashamed of it. Even though there's an increase of scoffers, increase of those, some of them very dear to us, very close to us. She's not afraid, not ashamed, because he means more to her than anything. Let's bow our hearts and the musicians come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for your presence to come and quicken the things, Lord, the truths that you've given us this hour. Lord, we're a small people, just like Israel was a small people, but Lord, we believe you have chosen us, that we are your choice, Lord, that you might bring to pass the things you promised. Lord, we realize that we are nothing in ourselves, but for your name's sake, Lord, you will do in your bride what you said you would do. And Lord, we'd also know that in us, is something that you find fellowship with. And we find fellowship with you. Lord, that it's you that's right. We're not right. The world's not right, but you're right. And Lord, that's what we rally around. I remember hearing the testimony where Brother Branham, when someone came to him and said, "You're right." And Brother Branham said, "No, he's right." And Lord, that's what we look to. You're correct. You're right. Where we would miss it every time, you hit it every time on the dot, Lord. And that's what we love. These truths, Lord, these truths, this way of living that produces life and not death. These ways of following after these truths that you've given us that puts a stop to the sin that happened in the garden. Looking right, dressing right, all those things from the heart, Lord, that it brings life to us. We see that it's truth, it's not a lie. And we want that to be our part, our lot, Lord. As we walk in this world, we know that you will bring these things to pass. And then, Lord, when our days are numbered and finished here, Lord, you'll take us into that other dimension. And we won't have to fight against any things around us anymore. We'll hinder that relationship we have with you. We look forward to that time. Lord, I believe it's upon us very quickly. And I ask God that as we do in the days ahead, as we approach even more, regardless of what the persecution may bring, I pray, God, that your little bride will be able to draw that much closer to you. Be blessed that much more by your presence. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Thank you for praying for me. Didn't have to blow my nose too much. The middle of things I was in.
You deserve the glory.
Lord, be in thy hands first.
that what you found in your own world? Ain't nobody else like him. I disappoint myself. People disappoint me. Life disappoints me. My body gets up every day. I have an ache or a pain somewhere and it disappoints me. Gas tank don't stay full as long as I'd like for it to. I'm disappointed by that. But he's never disappointed. He's always standing there ready. It's always me that's the hangout. Yeah. He's the only one that's got that kind of character. He's the only one worthy of our worship and our adoration. Amen. Let me challenge you to look at what you do in your life every day. What do you default to? You're not busy doing something else. What does your mind go to? It should be him. Challenge your own walk. Challenge your own self to be different. To embrace this gospel truth more. You know, when I'm feeling bad, down in the middle of grubs, there's nothing like a sermon. Nothing like the ministry of the word.
Amen.
It's such a comfort. Such a comfort.
Yes.
The truth. It speaks to me. And I know that's the way it does you, but what I'm compelling you is to throw yourself in the arms of him. Because that's what he's giving you. We've got sermons on every hand that we can listen to. We can enter into a fellowship some way, somehow. This stuff about people not being in church and all, it's because they don't want to be. People find a way to get something done. The will to live is more powerful than anything else out there just about, see? And when people in faraway countries, in dungeons somewhere, just wasting away with the power to live, they figure out a way to overcome it.
Right.
And if people want to serve God, they'll do it.
Yeah.
So they're just lying to themselves about stuff. But don't you be that way. Don't you let Satan trick you into just letting down the abilities of what God has given you. Now you can just wrap yourself in his word and in his presence. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Amen. That song's coming to mind. I'd like for us to sing. It's a little bit upbeat. Ben Orrod sat in here with us that one night.
Oh Lord, send the power just now.
What's that?
You said, oh Lord, send the power just now?
No. King of all ages. You remember the song I'm talking about? Keeps coming to mind, but I can't think of the name of it. I can't think of the words to it. Yes. Light of the world. That's it. You know, that just shows you the human element, the frailty of the human element. But in the spirit, I hear that. You see what I'm saying? I want to give way in the flesh and go to that. Because that's where it's at. Inspiration from Almighty God to walk in this hour when nobody can walk. We can't do it ourselves. But saints, I promise you, he's here to walk it in you. Just let him do it. Amen. Let's sing this in worship. Saints, I want so much for you to know and to see the hour of the to not mistake who you are in Him, and to not mistake the closeness in the hour that you're in. I want so bad for you to know that and not miss that. And I don't want to hold anything back from you. There's nothing that I want to hold back. I want you to know all there is to know, everything that God would have me tell you of this end time message.
Yeah.
In other words, if I see something, I want to tell you. If I see something amiss, a problem there, I want to tell you about it. See? And I want you to know that if you have a struggle, anything in your life, if there's any area in your life where you are having a problem surrendering to the Lord and laying down something, if there's something you haven't done that you know you need to do, come to me. If the Holy Spirit will allow you to do it, come to me. But whatever you do, don't let that be held off any longer.
Amen.
Surrender it to the Lord and move on up. Move on up in the Lord. The saints is close. I know we can't put time on it because time's no more. It's not even a time thing, but it's a preparedness thing. And so let's get prepared. Let's wrap ourselves. If there's a piece of that linen garment that's laying over in the corner that we have yet to pick up and put on, let's get it put on. And if you're having trouble with that, please come to me, come to Brother Daniel. We will pray with you. We will do whatever we can to make sure that you've met that. If you haven't been baptized, if you've got something that you just, whatever it is, you come to us.
Amen.
We want to see you ready, because that's all that's waiting.
Sure.
Is the preparedness of the bride. And when I look at the events going on in the nation and the world with Israel, I said it the other day, we're fixing to leave this place, or God's going to have to put it on pause again. And I don't think He's going to do that. He's done it once from World War I, World War II. He paused that tribulation period then. But those same things that kicked that off are kicking up again right now.
Yeah.
Right now. So He's either going to have to stop it again, or He's going to take us home. I believe He's going to take us home.
Amen.
Bless you. You're dismissed. I don't mean to take a long time, but it's been on my heart to share those things with you. God bless you.